Today, Shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin two lines from the top of the Yomid, at the end of the line with the words, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda. We are in the middle of a sugya that began at the bottom of Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis, and let us refer to the middle of the second wide line at the bottom of Chav Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara brought a brisa, which stated, Ir Shein Bo Roifa Yisrael, a city that does not have a Jewish moel, a Jewish doctor who could perform milah, V'yesh Bo Roifa Kusi, V'Roifa Ovid Gechavim, but the city does have a doctor who is a Kusi. The Kusi were Goyim who became Gerim, and subsequently Chazal found out that they were serving a dmus of a Yonah that was found on Har Gerizim. So in this city there is a Kusi doctor and a Roifa Avod Kechavim, a doctor who is one who serves Avodah Zarah, he serves the stars. And the question now is, who should perform the milah on this newborn Jewish baby? So the shita of Rav Meir is Yimol Ovid Kechavim Val Yimol Kusi, that the Ovid Kechavim should do the milah and not the Kusi. Divrei Rav Meir, as Rashi explains, because Ein Darkam Lomelus B'neim, when it comes to an Ovid Avodah Zarah, they don't have as part of their religion to perform milah, and therefore if they do perform milah, they're not going to have in mind l'shem their Avodah Zarah, whereas the Kusim, they do perform milah, and we are worried that he will have kavana as a normal Kusi would have, that the milah will be l'shem the Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Kusi should not perform the milah. Apparently there's an inyan by milah to do with l'shma, l'shem milah, which the Kusi will not be doing. A limit for this we'll find in today's Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and he says just the reverse. Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Yimol Kusi, Va'al Yimol Avi Kechavim. Let a Kusi do it. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about the fact that a Kusi will do it L'shem is Avodah Zarah, but not a Goy, and even Kechavim Shinat could do it, as Rashi explains there, because he's chashed on Shvichas Damim. So the Gemara had questions back and forth whether this Girsa is the correct one, whether in fact Rav Meir Shita is that Yimol Ayvik Kechavim Val Yimol Kusi, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds Yimol Kusi Val Yimol Ayvik Kechavim, or perhaps it should be just the opposite. At this point that we are in the Gemara is remaining with the Girsa the way we had it, that we just quoted, that Rav Meir holds that a Oiv Gechavim is good and a Kusi is not good. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that a Kusi is good and a Ovid Gechavim is not good. And now the Gemara begins. Second line on the top of the Amid Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda Kusi Sharpa Dami. Are you telling me at this point in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that a Kusi is able to be a mole on a Jewish child? Vatani, we learned in a Brisa, not like that. Yisroel molas a Kusi. A Yisroel can do milah to a Kusi. But v'kusi la yimol Yisroel, a Kusi should not do milah to a Yisroel. Why? Mipnei shemol l'shem har grizim, because he's going to have in mind that he's doing the milah for the demus yona that was found on har grizim for the Avodah Zarah. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that a Kusi is possible to do Mila. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we require Lishma, from where the Makor is, we'll soon see in a few lines. And on this concept, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Amale Rabbi Yossi, v'chi heichem atzina, Mila menatar Lishma. Where do we find the concept of Mila Lishma? We find that you have to do Tfilin Lishma, Sefer Torah Lishma, but where do we find Mila Lishma? And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that a Kusi, even if he had Kavana Lishem Har Grizim, would be able to perform milah on a Jewish child. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi concludes, Elamol v'hoylech, he should continue doing milah, achetetze nishmose, until he dies. It seems to be that although Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter for a Kusi to do it, of course, it is not a pleasant thing that a Kusi will have in mind l'shem the Avodah Zarah, and that's why Rabbi Yossi seems to be giving him a curse. In other words, he should do the mila until he drops dead. But the mila is kshera according to the shita of Rabbi Yossi. But meanwhile, we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. If you were going to have the girsa, the way we quoted it on Daf Chavavim at Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that kusi is kosher for mila, and an avoid oivet kachavim is not kosher, we're going to have a steerer with this bricer where Rabbi Yehuda says beferish that a kusi is not kosher. Eloloilam epoch kiravchina mikor. The Gemara says we're going to have to reverse the bricer that we brought in the chav vav amud beis, the way we changed it, the way we flipped it before, because on Chavav and Beis, at one point, the Gemara had changed it and done just the reverse. That the beginning of the Braisa is the words of Rabbi Yehuda, and the end of the Braisa is the words of Rabbi Meir, and therefore it will come out that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds Yimel Oivik Chavim Val Yimel Kusi, and Rabbi Meir is the one who holds Yimel Kusi Val Yimel Oivik Chavim. So we're going to change it. Udika kasha drabuta drabuta. But when we changed it earlier on Chav Vav Amud Beis, we had a problem because there would be a stira then from Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda, not concerning Kusi, but concerning Akum. Because if we make the flip, as we just mentioned, that Rabbi Yehuda will come out to say Yimaloi v'kechavim, we have a beferish Rabbi Yehuda, which is found at the third wide line at the bottom of the Amud on Chavav Amud Beis. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda oiv kechavim shapardami v'atanya. Rabbi Yehuda oimer minayin lamila oiv kechavim sheep sulish and emer va'ata es brisi tishmor. There's a beferish Rabbi Yehuda that says from the pasuk which is learned by Avram, where Hashem said in Bereishis Yudzayin pasuk test Avram va'ata es brisi tishmor ata. This was a tzivi not only to Atta, to you Avram, but to his descendants after him. And this comes to mind only you and your Zaracha and not an Oivik Chavim. So how could we now flip because of our Kasha of Kusi and say that it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that Oivik Chavim is kosher for Mila and a Kusi is not kosher? If an Oivik Chavim is kosher for Mila, then it's a steer with the other din of Rabbi Yehuda that an Oivik Chavim is actually possible for Mila. So Udika Kasha back to the Gemara and Chav Zayin, Udika Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, that original question which you had on Chav Avam and Beis, that then it'll come out if you flip. It'll come out of steer in Rabbi Yehuda. No, it's not a problem. Ahi, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's going according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That's not a regular Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Aimer. Menai Lamila Bagham Sheep Sula Tamalamir Vatas Prisi Tishmar. The way we brought the Bryce on Chav Amud Beis concerning Rabbi Yehuda was plain Rabbi Yehuda. Then we had a stira. But now the Gemara is saying the accurate way to bring the Bryce is not Rabbi Yehuda, but it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Echanami holds that you need that an Oivik Chavim is posel for Mila from the Pasuk of Atas Brisi Tishmor. So it comes out that we'll have three Shitas. It'll come out according to the Gemara's Maskana right now that Rabbi Yehuda holds an Akum is allowed to do Mila, not a Kusi, because he holds you need Mila Lishmora. The Makor of this we'll soon see in a few lines in the Gemara. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Akum is kosher to do Mila. He's also not worried, as Rashi points out here on the fourth wide line on the top of the Yomad, Ulishvichas Damim Lechayish Hoil Vacherim Agavav. It's speaking about a case where others, where Jews are watching what he's doing, so we're not worried that the Akum will kill the Jewish baby. And an Akum is Be'etzem kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, disagrees. Rabbi Meir holds that a kusi should do the mila, and he holds that an akum should not do the mila, because Rabbi Meir is worried that maybe the akum will kill, or even if it's Armin al-Gaviv, as the Gemara said before, perhaps he will make him into a krushifcha And therefore, Rab Meir holds Yimol Kusi, Veloy Akum. Rab Yudin Hanasi holds that an Akum, forget about whether he'll kill him or he'll cause him to have a physical defect in the Mila, that's not the issue. The issue is that an Akum is Be'etzem Pasul to do Mila because of the Pasuk, Va'ata Es Brisi Tishmar. And now the Gemara continues. Before we go through the Gemara, just let's point out something that Tosfos speaks out here. When the Gemara said before, V'chi heichel matzinu mila lishma, we had the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yehuda said, a kusi cannot do mila because he's not going to do it lishma, he's going to do it l'shem his avodah zarah and har grizim. And on that, Rabbi Yossi said, where do we find mila lishma? So obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds there is a din of mila lishma, as we're soon going to learn in the Gemara. And yet, points out Tosfos, that even though you need mila lishma according to Rabbi Yehuda, and a kusi is not kosher because he's going to do it shaloi lishma l'shem avodah zarah, L'shem the demusiona that was found on Har Grizim, but a akum is kosher. So we see l'chayra that where l'shma is required, an akum is still kosher. As Tosfos v'tema, ma'ishna miget. We're reading from the Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud v'chihech matzina mila l'shma. As Tosfos the kasher from get. By get you also need l'shma, and yet a goy is not allowed to write a get because the goy is going to do it a day to the nafshikov, but he's not going to do it l'shma. So Tosfos is asking, what's the difference between mila and get? By mila you tell me you need l'shma, and a goy is good. And by get, you tell me you need mila lishma, you need a get lishma, and a goy is not good. Rashi here, in Divri Amaschel, Lashem Himol tells us, quote, Aval oivet kechavim loy moel el adaita di Yisrael, she'omer loy moel v'hainu lishma. So Rashi learns that it's not that we let the goy do whatever he wants. It's speaking about where a Jew told him to do the mila. And since he's doing it on the das of what the Yisrael is asking him to do, and the Jew is doing it l'shem mila as a Jewish mila, therefore it's considered l'shma. Tosfos apparently does not go with this explanation of Rashi, because Tosfos says the chilek between get and mila is the following, that a goy always does something stum. Let's say there is no Jews telling him to do the mila or the get. He's doing it on his own volition. But there is a basic difference, says Tosfos, between mila and get. Because by mila, stama is lishma. As long as you don't do it loy lishma, like a kusi who will do it for har grizim, a regular stama, you do it plain, that's automatically lishma. Ma shein kein. By a get of a woman, there is a stam get that's written is loy lishma. Because Tosfos says a stam woman is not oimid for gerishin. So therefore, if a goy does it stum, and since every get stum is loy lishma, therefore what the goy did is considered loy lishma. And the same thing Tosfos says legabe writing a sefer Torah and the askaris, the shame of Hashem. Stum writing for a sefer Torah is considered loy lishma. So if a goy does it stum, then we say stum equals loy lishma. That's why Tosfos speaks out when the sefer writes the get, he has to say out, he has to verbalize at the time that he writes the get, ani kosev l'shem plainus, I'm writing this get for that particular woman. Then it's considered lishma. And the same halacha says Tosfos by sefer Torah. But at the beginning of the writing, the sefer has to speak out, ani kosev l'shem Torah Yisrael. And thus chorus are l'shem kedusha. Because by Sefer Torah and by Gittin, stum is loy lishma unless you express it clearly and distinctly at the beginning that you're doing it lishma. So therefore, Tosfos answers this kasha according to Rabbi Yehuda. Einach nami Rabbi Yehuda holds mila requires lishma. But there's a basic difference between mila versus get and Sefer Torah. By mila, every stama is considered lishma. And therefore, if a goy who always does these things stum, if he does it stum by mila, that's okay, as long as he doesn't do it loy lishma beferish, like a kusi to har grizim. Ma she'en ken a get or a sefer Torah, there, the stama, even by a Jew, is loy l'shma. The Jew has to speak out verbally, clearly, that he's doing it l'shma. L'shem ploinus, that woman for the get. L'shem kedusha sefer Torah, for the askaris, for the Torah Yisrael. He has to speak it out. Stama, even by a Jew, is loy l'shma. Therefore, a goy who always does everything stama, by a sefer Torah and by get, it'll be considered loy l'shma, and it will be possible. My mila stama, that a goy has, is automatically considered lishma, and therefore it is kosher. Continues the Gemara, Amr of Chizda, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Now we're explaining, not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, we're explaining the plain Rabbi Yehuda. And we're not speaking about Akum now, we're speaking about Kusi. That challenge that Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find that you need Mila Lishma, that a Kusi should be possible if he does a little hard grism? What in fact is this for Rabbi Yehuda? Dichsiv. Because it says in the Pasuk, and this is in Shmois, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Memches, the Pasuk states as follows, V'chi yogur itcha ger, v'asa pesach l'ashem, hima loy kol zachar v'az yikrev l'asaisai, v'az yikrev l'asaisai, v'hoya ke'ezra choretz v'chol oral loy yoychal boy. So the Gemara is taking two words that are really part of two separate clauses, and the Gemara is putting those two words together. And the words are l'ashem himoil. At the end of the phrase v'asa pesach l'ashem, that the ger will want to make a korban pesach for Hashem. And the beginning of the next phrase is hima loy kozach. He has a din that he has to have himself meal. He has to have meal of all his avodim, just like a Jew is required to have mila of himself and all his avodim before he brings the korban pesach. So I take the last word of the first phrase of avasa pesach l'ashem. I take the first word of the next phrase, he mo loy kol zacher. I put the words l'smuchen. They're connected to each other. L'ashem himo, that even the mila is required to be l'shma to Hashem. The pasuk shot in the pasuk is that the pesach has to be l'ashem, because pesach in fact has to be l'shma. That's the first mishnah in Zvachim, that if you shecht the pesach shaloi l'shma, it's pasul. So the pasuk shot of the pasuk here is v'asa pesach l'ashem. But we're learning by juxtaposition, by smuchin, the word l'ashem tehimo, that the mila has to be l'shma. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. The chsiv l'ashem himo v'Rabbi Yossi. Where does he know that a kusi is also good for mila? You don't need lishma by mila because it says himo himo. This is a pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Gimel. When Hashem gave the tzivui to Avram concerning mila, He said himo yimo yilid beischa miknas kaspech avayisu brisu b'sarklam bris oilam. So himo yimo, Rashi says ribuyehi. It's extra words. It didn't have to say both himo and yimo. It says a double lashon to be marba that you don't need l'shma, that a kusi is also good. Ask the Gemara v'idach, and Rabbi Yossi, who holds that loy l'shma by mila is good, haksiv l'ashem himo. What about the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda brought that mila requires l'shma? Answers the Gemara, hahu b'pesach siv. Rabbi Yossi is not bothered with that because he says, let's go with the pasuk shot of the pasuk. The pasuk shot of the pasuk is that the l'ashem is referring to the pesach. The pesach has to be l'ashem l'shma, but not the mila. He doesn't learn the smuchim of putting the last word of the first phrase and the first word of the second phrase. He says the last word, l'ashem, goes on the word which precedes it, which is pesach. The pesach has to be l'shma, but not the mila. Ve'edach and Rabbi Yehuda, nam yaksev himo yimo. What does he do with the ribui of Rabbi Yossi? That himo yimo, that you don't need l'shma, that even a kusi's mila would be good? The answer is Dibra Torah Kalashim B'nei Adam. The Torah spoke the way people speak and people repeat words. And that's why it says in the Torah, himo yimo. Itmar, it was stated, how do we know that mila by of a goy is possible? We have a machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Dor bar papa mishmei to Rav Omar. Dor bar papa said the name of Rav, the pasuk that we had before. The ata as brisi tishmor. And Rashi brings down, not only you Avram, but vizarach achrecha. And that will be memayet a goy, v'loi ovikichavim. For Rabbi Yochanan, where does he know that a akum is possible to make milah, because himol yimol. Rashi explains, read it not himol, but read it hamol yimol. If you yourself have milah, then you can give milah to somebody else. But an akum doesn't have milah, mimela he can't give milah to someone else. Ask more, my benayo, what's the difference if I learned the pasuk of Rav or I learned the pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan? Because of both psukim, a akum will be possible. The Gemara answers, nafkamin will be arvi mol. If you have a Arab who their minig is, their religious dictate is to have Mila, or Gavnoni Mol, or a Gavnoni. The Rabbeinu Chananel says here that the Gavnoni, Pirish Gavnoni Mibnei Avramim, they were from the descendants of Avram, Umo Olam. As Rashi says here, this is an Uma Mehula. Their custom is to do Mila. Why are they called Gavnonim? Because Gavnonim refers to the hills. They used to live in the hills. Vishoichnim says the Rabbeinu Chananel, Bahari Gavnonim, Lefikach Nikru Gavnonim. So, Ikabinai. This is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Mandi Amar Himol Yimol, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who learns it out from Himol Yimol, to Mimad and Akum is possible Ika. So, here they have Mila. And if they have Mila, there's no sort of Himol Yimol. Hamol Yimol, they have Mila, so they could do Mila based on this pasuk. Mandi Amar Espresi Tishmor, but if you learn that the person doing the Mila has to be part of the covenant of a bris between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, Espresi Tishmor Lekka, so an Arvi Mol and a Gavnoni Mol would not be able to do a bris Mila. Ask the Gemara, that's not a good difference. Why? Are you telling me that according to the Mandi Yomar who learns the psul of Akum by Mila from Himol Yimol Widarshan Hamol Yimol, then here by Arvi Mol and Gavnoni Mol, it's good. But now we learned in a mission in the Dorm, Koinim Shani Nenim and Ara'elim, if a person said, I make a neder, a vow, that I will not have Hana from anyone who is uncircumcised, who is called an oral, the din is mutter barol Yisrael. He is mutter to have hanor from a Jew who does not have circumcision. Because although a Jew didn't have, for whatever reason, circumcision, but he's part of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael are called mehulim. They're called people who have a bris milah. But this same person who made this koinim, va'aser b'muli avi kachavim, he will be aser with a goy who had Mila, because although the goy had Mila, he's still called an oral. Alma, what do we see from that mission in the dorm? Afa gav de mehili, even though they physically had a bris Mila, but they're considered arelim, kemandolai mili dummy. They're considered as if they didn't have Mila. Therefore, you're telling me, himol yimol, that an arvi mol or a gavnani mol would be good to make Mila, because they have Mila, but their Mila is not counted as Mila. They're considered arelim. Eloik, but now we have to give a different chilek. Yisroel, Shemesu Echov Machmas Mila, Jew whose brothers died when they had Mila. Veloy Malu, so therefore Bezdin did not give him Mila because, as Rashi says, we were afraid he's going to die. And therefore, once two or three brothers, depending on when we establish Katlonus, that if there's a family problem that they cannot survive Mila, so we, let's say after two brothers have died, we already do not give a bris Mila to the third brother. So will that third brother who didn't have Mila, will he be kosher to give a Mila to a Jewish child? Laman di Amar Vatas Brisi Tishmarika. He is part of the covenant of Avram, although he, because of an illness, was not able to have Mila himself. So he would be able to make the Mila on the Jewish child. But Laman Yomer Himol Yimol, but if you learn it from Hamol Yimol, the one who has Mila will make Mila Leka. Lamaisi, he doesn't have Mila, even though he's an honest, but he doesn't have Mila. But the Gemara does not like this chilek. Laman Yomer Himol Yimol Leka. Are you telling me that a Jewish person who, because of an inus, didn't have a bris Mila, he would not be able to make a bris mila on a Jewish child? But none. We learned in the mission in the Dorim, koinem shani nenemi mulam. If he makes a koinem, not that I'm also to have hanor from arelim, but I'm not going to have hanor from people who are called mulim, who have circumcision, and they're not called arelim, they're called mulim. Also arel Yisrael. So he's also to have hanor from a Jew who did not have a bris mila, because a Jew doesn't have a bris mila is still called a mole. He's part of the nation that are called Mehulim, even though he personally didn't have a bris milah. And this person who made this koinim shani nenemi mulim, I won't have enough from mulim, mutter b'muli avi g'chavim. He is allowed to have enough from avi g'chavim who have milah, because they're not called Mehulim, they're called Arelim. Alma, what do we learn from that Mishnah? Afak avduloi mili, commander mili dami. That even though he didn't have a bris milah, the Jew, he's considered as if he did have a bris milah. So even if I learn out from himol yimol, hamol yimol, he would be considered as if he had milah, and therefore he would be kosher to give a bris milah. So this could not be enough gemina between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Ella ikmanayo isha. Enough gemina between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is by a woman. Could a woman, is she kosher to give a bris milah to her child? Lamandi yomer v'atas brisi tishmor lako. The isha lav bas milah. Since a woman is not in the parsha of having, physically having a bris milah, therefore she's not part of the covenant of bris milah. Well, and therefore she could not make a bris milah to her child. Mandi yomer himo yimo, but according to the mandi yomer, who learns it out, Rabbi Yochanan, who learns it out from hamol yimol, the one who has a bris milah is able to make milah. Ikka, then it's considered as if a woman had a bris milah. Why? The isha command the mehila damya, that a woman is, since she's a chelik of klal yisrael, so therefore, although she physically didn't have a bris milah, but it's considered that she's part of the Ummah Yisraelis that are considered mehulim, even though she's not part of the bris of milah, but she would be considered a mohul. And therefore, according to that mandamer, she would be able to make a bris milah on her child. Ask the Gemara, Umi iklamandi omer ishaloi. So it comes out a fundamental machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav, who learns from Vatas Brisi Tishmar, a woman would be possible to make a bris milah on her child. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who learns from Himo Yimol, a woman would be kosher to make a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, is there such a man the Yomer holds that a woman is possible? Voksiv Atikat Sipar Tzar, we find by Moshe and Sipara, where the Malach was trying to kill Moshe and Tzipora grabbed a sharp stone, and she took it, circumcised her child. She was possible to make the bris milah. Karibe vatakach, not that she took the sharp stone, but rather she caused it to be taken by another man. She made a man, a shliach, to do it, but she herself did not do it because a woman, according to Rav, is not able to do a bris milah. Asking more of aksiv vatichros, that she cut off the foreskin, the bris milah. Kribe, read it, not vatichros, but vatachres. She caused it. She told a man, the amra le'inish achrinavavit. She told somebody else, and he is the one who did the actual bris milah. The e-boy is same. And another teretz I'll tell you is, as ye'iv aschala. Moshe couldn't begin the bris milah because he was being attacked by the Malach. So she came and started the bris milah. V'asa Moshe v'agmar, and then Moshe came along, and once she started, then the Malach let go of Moshe. Then Moshe was able to complete the bris milah. Since Moshe completed it, it's not considered as if she did it, and therefore it is a kosher milah done by Moshe Rabbeinu and not by Tzipora. Now there's a machloikis. What happens if there's no moil available, is a woman allowed to do a bris milah on her child? So the Rif says yes, and Tosis in the bottom, Tosis says Divrei Maskil Isha, also brings down a psak from the Bahag that Isha Ksheru Lomoil, and this will be like Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, that's consistent with Halacha, because Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. There's a story of a woman in the Holocaust who begged a Nazi Yimach Shemoy for a knife with her newborn baby, and the Nazi was looking gleefully at how she's going to kill her child with this knife, and instead she said, she called out that my child needs a bris milah, and she went ahead and did the bris milah on her child. Tysus brings from the Bahag that Aisha is kashera to do the bris milah. However, Tysus himself disagrees with the Bahag and with the Rif, and he says that Yesh lifsei karav, we have to paskin like Rav, that a woman is not kashera lama, even though the halacha normally is Rav, Rav Yochanan, we go like Rav Yochanan, and according to Rav Yochanan, a woman is kashera lama. But since we learned before that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi also holds that a woman, it would come out according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who darshans the pasuk of Atas Brisi Tishmor. So that's the pasuk that goes according to Rav, that pasels an akum, and who would then that a woman would be pasel if she's not part of the bris. So because of the bris of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who would be going like Rav, Taisa says we should paskin like Rav against Rabbi Yochanan, that a woman is puzzle. And then Tosfos speaks out that we have to say, according to Rav, who holds that a woman is not kshera to make a bris milah, how do we understand the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes, that oisoi v'loi oisa, we have a miyut that a woman cannot do a bris milah. What do we need a pasuk oisoi v'loi oisa, that a woman is not mechuyev to do a bris milah? She's possible to do a bris milah. She's not allowed to do a bris milah according to our Gemara. So how does Rav understand that drusha in Kedushin Chavtes that Oisoy is chayev to do a bris milah on his child and not Oisah, not the woman? She's possible. The answer is that Rav will have to learn that drusha means that she's not mechuyev to search around to try to get a moil for her child. She herself, according to Rav, is possible. And from Oisoy, I learn out a miyut that a woman doesn't even have obligation to find a moil for her child. We begin the next Mishnah. This Mishnah will discuss things that a Akum, an Oyved Avodah Zarah, is allowed to do for a Jew, and things that he's not allowed to do. Begins the Mishnah, Misrapin mehen ripui mamon, avaloi ripui nefashes. Rashi explains, we can be mekabel refuah from an oivet avodah zarah. What kind of refuah? A cure of money, but not a cure of nefashes. And Rashi points out that the Gemara will immediately explain, what do we mean by these phrases, ripui mamon, and not ripui nefashes? We'll see that in the Gemara. Ve'ein mistapren mehem b'chol makom divi Rav Meir. Rav Meir's shita is that you're not allowed to take a haircut from an oved avodah zarah, as Rashi says, that we're afraid that he will kill the Jew with the razor. And Rav Meir's shita is that even if it's a place where the rabbim pass by, there are roadways and sidewalks where people are passing by, still we're afraid that he'll make a cut with the tar and with the razor, and he will kill the Jew. The Chachamim disagree, and they say, Rishus HaRabim Mutter. If it's in Rishus HaRabim, it's Mutter, because we're not afraid that he will do it. People from the street will be able to observe what he's doing. However, Avoloi Beinoi LeBeinoi, the Chachamim are Moda, that if it's in a house where no one can see, there one should not take a haircut from Anakam. Begins the Gemara. My ripui mamon and my ripui nefashes. What did those terms in the Mishnah mean? Ripui mamon and ripui nefashes. Ilema, if you want to say ripui mamon bischar, ripui mamon means you're allowed to take medicinal procedures from a goy, from a doctor, an akum, if you pay him. As Rashi says, because he doesn't want to forfeit the money that he's making, and that's why he won't kill you. However, ripui nefashos means that the goy will do it altruistically. He'll do it for no fee. And that's takaser. Rashi first explains what does nefashos mean according to this pshat. It means, based on the pasuk by Avram when he came to Beri Sara, in Bereishis Perichov Gimel Pasuk Ches, where Avram told the people there, Im yesh es nafshechem, likbor es meisi, milfonai shima'uni ufiguli be'efren ben sochar. So the word es nafshechem means, if it's truly your will, if you want to do it altruistically, you want to do it not for any remuneration, any schar, that it's part of your very essence, your nefesh, So that's what our Mishnah means over here. If it's ripui mamon, if you're going to pay the doctor who's an akum, then it's permitted. He doesn't want to lose his wages. Avoloi ripui nefashis. But if he's going to do it altruistically without a fee, then there's nothing to stop him from killing you, and we're worried then that he'll kill you, and therefore that is usur. So if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, I have a problem, says the Gemara. Listen, misrapin man bischar avoloi bechinim. Say the lashon according to this is very philosophical. Im yesh es nafshechem. Say it's simple. You're allowed to get cured by a akum medical doctor if you pay him, but you're not allowed to get cured by him if you don't pay him bechinam. So therefore, the Gemara says this pshat does not fit well into the terms used by the Mishnah. Ella, the Gemara tries to say it's a second pshat. Ella, ripui mamon dover shein bo sakana. And the way Rashi explains it, we're looking at what the Jew could lose by taking the akum doctor. If he doesn't have a worry about losing his life, the only thing he has a worry is that maybe the doctor will make things worse. And either you'll have to pay him more money to get it cured, or you have to pay a different doctor to cure what the first one damaged. So if the whole deficit to the Jew is that I'll have to pay more money, so you could take the chance, take the akum doctor, and you can get cured by him if you're not worried for your life. So ripui mamon is davar she'ein bo sakana. Ripui nefash is davar she'ein bo sakana. However, where it's a situation where if the goy doesn't do the correct thing, the Jew could lose his life, that's usur to have such a doctor in such a situation. It would come out, if that's the pshat of the Mishnah, the words fit, but it would come out that a Jew could use a akum doctor if it's a situation where it's not a danger that he'll lose his life. But that's not true. The Gemara immediately asks, that's keneged halach of Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, afila rivda dechu silta loim masinon minayu, that we do not get treated, even if, as Rashi says, there was a Jewish person who was a bloodletter, he was a maker's dumb, and he used a lancet, and this lancet punctured the skin, and the Jew has pain from it. So he wants to go to the goy that he should cure him from this pain. So it's a very minor thing that he's going to the goy for. It's not a serious thing. And Rav Yehuda paskins that afila rivda de kasilta, even the puncture that is caused by this lancet of the maker's dumb, even for that pain, loy masina minai, we don't get treated by a goy. In other words, you're not allowed to use a goy for anything. The Gemara comes with its final pshat. Ella, ripui mamon behemtoi. The Mishnah says, Misrapin mehen ripui mamon. If he's going to be a veterinarian, and that's all you're going to him for, to cure your animal, that you're allowed to do. But ripui nefasha, it's gufe. Ripui nefasha refers to the body of the Jew himself. And Rashi says, afila ain sakana bedavar. And that's usur. And as Rashi says in the third last line on the Amud, the usur limsar gufoy biyad oivet kirchavim. Rav Yehuda is telling us that you cannot use the goy for anything. You cannot give your Jewish body over to the Yakum, even for something minor. V'hainu dam Rav Yehuda afila riv de kusil to loy mesin minayu. According to our new pshat in the Mishnah, that shtims. It fits in exactly with what Rav Yehuda said, that you cannot go to an akum doctor even for a minor thing like the pain that's coming from the puncture of a maker's dumb's lancet. So this is our final pshat in the Mishnah, which the Gemara accepts as the correct pshat. Amr Rav Chizda, Amr Mar Okva, Avol, Im Amr Loi, Sam Ploini Yafoloi, Sam Ploini Ra Loi Mutter. Till now we've been speaking about the doctor doing medical procedures on the Jew. And there we said you're not allowed to go to the Akum doctor for any reason whatsoever. But if you're going to go to him not for a procedure, you're going to go to him for advice, you're allowed to follow the Akum doctor's advice. And what's the reason for this? Why is it different than a procedure? As we turn to Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Savar, because what does this Akum doctor think to himself as you're sitting on the other side of his desk, and you came to him and you told him that I don't want the doctor to treat me. I just want his advice. So Savor, the Akum thinks to himself, Shiuli Mashuloi, that what is this Jew doing? He's only coming, as Rashi explains here, to ask me my advice, what I recommend. But he's not asking me to be his actual medical practitioner and to do the procedure. So then what I see from this is that Gehech de Mashuloi, Mashulin Shechmina, just like the Jew is asking him, meaning he's referring to himself, to the Akum doctor, he's going around getting other opinions, a second or third opinion. And if I'm going to tell him something, I'm going to recommend a medicine which is not good for him, which can kill him, and he's going to tell the other doctors that this is what I recommended, so what's going to happen, says the Gemara, Va'asa hu gavra, that person referring to himself, meaning I myself, what's going to happen? Liruye nafshi, by giving such bad advice, I'm going to damage my reputation. And no doctor wants to have his reputation damaged. So if it's a doctor is more worried about advice than the procedure. By the procedure, something could have happened in the procedure, and for some reason it didn't go well. However, by advice, which medicine I should use, and he's going to tell them a bad medicine is good for him, the other doctors will begin to think badly about this Akum doctor, and therefore, there we can trust the Akum doctor that he's going to say which medicine is in fact good. This is similar to what we're going to have on Chav Ches Amid Aleph, that a Akum who's a mumcha l'rabim, he's a well-known expert in medicine, that he is allowed to cure a Jew because, again, he doesn't want to get his reputation damaged. And likewise, the Ritva says that if the Akum doctor writes a prescription down, so then the Jew would have in his hand a written evidence of what the goy told him, that also he can rely that the goy is going to tell him the truth, because he's afraid of damaging his reputation based on the written evidence that the Jew would have from the prescription. And likewise, the Balamor and the Miri Paskin, that if someone who has medical knowledge is present when the Akum doctor will perform a medical procedure, then he's even allowed to perform a medical procedure, because again, he's afraid to do something in front of another doctor, for example, who would know that the Akum doctor is doing something wrong, and he could be sued for malpractice, and he'll get a terrible reputation. So in such an instance, the Akum doctor could actually cure the Jew as well. Amar Rav, or as the Mitzaris Hashas tells us, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochan, Amar Law, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Yochan, some say it was Rav Chizda who said the name of Rav Yochan. If you have a case of a Jew, where Sofik Chai, Sofik Meis, Amos Rapid Mehen. If he's in a situation where 50-50, if he does no medical intervention, so he was told that he has a 50% chance of living or dying, we do not go to the Akum to perform a medical procedure, because by the Akum, it's Vadai, or at least Korov Levadai, that the Akum is going to kill the Jew. And therefore, it's better that he does nothing, even if the only doctor in town is the Akum. He shouldn't go to him, and he should hope for Rachem Yishmaim that the 50% Chai will prevail and that he will live. However, if he was told by many experts that Vadai Meis, that if he does no intervention, he's definitely going to die, then Misrapin Man, then he can go to the Goy, because what does he have to lose? That the Goy is going to kill him? The Akum is going to kill him? He's going to die anyway. And maybe there's a remote possibility that for some reason or other, the Akum this time will have mercy on him and actually cure him. So it's worth the risk of going to the Akum, because the worst thing is he'll kill the Jew. The Jew's going to die anyway. Ask the Gemara, according to the Girsa of the Bach, Vadai Meis Misrap Mim. You told me just now, Halacha, that if he's Vadai going to die without intervention, then he's allowed to go to the Akum, because what does he have to lose? He has only to gain. Ask the Gemara, Ha'ikah Chayisha. If he doesn't go to the Goy, he can live a day or two. But if he goes to the Goy, we have to be worried, Karav Levadi, that the Goy is going to kill him right away today. So why doesn't he have to worry about the Chai Shoah, the momentary life of a day or two that he's going to have? The Gemara says, L'chai Shoah L'chashinin, we are not worried about Chai Shoah. In other words, since there is a slight possibility that by going to this Akum, who's an expert, or this Akum, this doctor, who could possibly help him medically, even though Roif chances are he won't, but on the Mia chance that he will help him, he'll live a long life. So therefore, we don't take in consideration the day or two which he's going to lose if he doesn't go to the doctor. Tosfos in the Divrei HaMaskil L'Chai Shoah, the top Tosfos, points out we shouldn't learn a wrong lesson from this Gemara that Chazal or the Torah was not worried about minutes of life. Every breath of a human life is precious. And he brings, in fact, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pehe, where a wall fell on a person on Shabbos. You're allowed to mechal Shabbos, and mefachin olav esagal b'Shabbos. Why are you allowed to remove the wall on Shabbos? Because perhaps he'll live, and even if all you think he'll live is a Chai Yishah, is a day or two, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So we see we are concerned about Chai Yishah. And Tosfos says that really what the halacha is consistent, namely, and there's a chayr, it's a stira. Here we say we're not chayish for chayishah. The Gemara in Yuma says we are chayish for chayishah. The answer is, in each case, we do what's better for the person. When he's lying under a wall where he's for sure going to die, so there we remove the wall for the suffix that maybe he'll live a day or two longer. The alternative is to leave him there and he's vadi going to die and he'll lose even the day or two. However, in our Gemara, where you're faced with the option of going to the Akum, where probably he'll kill the Jew, but there's a remote chance that he'll cure the Jew for a long life, and opposing that is the definite that he will die after a day or two, after the Chai Shoah. So there we sacrifice the definite Chai Shoah for this possibility that perhaps the Akum will in fact cure him and he'll live a long life. So we're always doing what's ever better. In the case over here, it's better that we give up the day or two of momentary life for the possibility of long life. Ask the Gemara Minotamer, how do you know that in such a situation, the L'chai Yishah L'chashinin, we're not worried about the temporary life, the momentary life of a day or two, D'chsiv, because we have a Pasuk in Malachim Beis, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Our Gemara is going to start from Pasuk Dalet, but let us go back to the beginning of the story, which is Pasuk Gimel, which speaks about Gehazi and his three sons. They were Mitzrayim. They were outside the city. And the pasuk begins, Varboa, Noshim Hayu Mitzrayim, Pesach Hashar. There were four Mitzrayim at the entrance, the gate to the city. Vayom Rishal Re'eyu, one man said to his friend, Ma Nachnu Yoshim Poyad Masnu, what are we going to stay here outside the city? In the city, there's a tremendous hunger. There's no food. And then begins the pasuk that our Gemara quotes, pasuk Dalid, Im Amarnu Navoyir Varov Beir Vamasnu Sham. If we say to ourselves to go into the city, there's a hunger there, we're going to die in the city. And then the pasuk continues, V'im yashavnu po, if we stay here at the gate of the city, v'mosnu, we're also going to die. V'ata, they came up with the following strategy, l'chu v'nipla menachnei aram, im yichayunin nichye, v'im yimusunu v'mosnu. Let's go to aram, to who is in siege around the city, and will fall on their mercy, and we'll tell them, give us some food to eat. If they'll give us food, we'll live. And if they won't, we'll die. They'll kill us. So we're going to die anyway. They went to the camp of Aram, and a miracle took place. They went early in the morning, and Hashem had made a loud noise as if the Aram was being attacked by a large army, and they all fled. And they left over their horses and donkeys and their provisions and their food. And the four Mitzrayim came back to the city and told Klal Yisrael that the Aram had fled. And they came out and they had plenty of food to eat. This was a nest that the Yirmiyahu had told Klal Yisrael would happen. So the question that our Gemara grapples with is, as Ramosha points out, that since this story is elaborated on in the Navi, apparently this was the correct Mahalach. So they were faced with definite death, and they gave themselves a chance to live by a rum. But the question is, as the Gemara asks here, Vayikachayisha, if they would do nothing, they would stay by the gate of the city. They weren't going to die that day. They didn't have food. So eventually, in a few days, they would die. If going to Aram probably would kill them. Just like the Akam doctor in our Duff over here. Probably he's going to kill the Jew. But there's a remote chance that they would live by Aram. So they were correct in going to Aram, taking that remote chance that they would give them food to eat. The Gemara's kasha is, but here, if they do nothing, they'll still live for a few days for sure. Why do we give that up for the possibility, the remote possibility of living with Aram, by Aram giving them food? The answer is, we see from here a rule. El alav, l'chayisho, l'chayishin. We're not concerned about chayisho when we have a chance to live a long life, even though that chance is a remote chance. And in fact, our Gemara is a very important makor for many of the tshuvah svarim and halacha svarim that discuss, not when you have an Akum, who probably will kill the Yid, but when you have a risky procedure, which has a remote chance of success, but in many cases it's unsuccessful, is a person who's in a situation of imminent death, unless this risky procedure is performed, is he allowed to go through with the risky procedure? Why not? He's going to die anyway if he doesn't do the risky procedure. The answer is, what about Chai Shah? So from our Gemara, it would seem that we give up the Chai Shah, we give up the few days of life for the remote chance that the risky procedure will succeed and he will live a long life. And to see more about this, which is beyond the scope of our Daf Yomi here, but one can look in Shas and Tshuvas Achiezer Yoredeya Simen Tazayin, Binas Adam Simen Tzadik Gimel, and Igris Maisha Yoredeya Chelik Beis Simen Nunches, who all discuss this Shaila connected to our Sugi here, where we say that L'chaye Shah Loi Chayshinen, which we learn out from the Arba Anashim Hayu Mitzrayim, from Gehazi and his three sons. It's interesting to note that at the end of that tshuva, Rav Moshe states that this was a psak that he had given Baal Peh, that the person is allowed to take the risky operation, and he says that Rav Henkin, likewise, Rav Yosef Elio Henkin Zatzal Paskin the same way, but he had given this psak, said Rav Moshe Baal Peh, and now, because of the shoel asking for it to be written down, he wrote it down in this tshuva in Yoredeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Nun Ches, based on our Gemara, that in fact it would be mutter. So the conclusion of our Gemara is that we're not chayish for chayesha, where a person could do something risky, but the upside is that if it's successful, he could live a regular life and be cured from his illness. He doesn't have to worry about chayisho in that instance. Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha on this. Lo yisa v'yitin adnam imam minim. A person cannot have any dealings with minin. What are minin? We learned before in Rashi on Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis, Divrei HaMashal minin, says Rashi, quote, koimrin lavodis kechavim bein oivdi kechavim bein Yisraelim. Whether it's goyim or whether it's Jews who are priests to the avodah zarah, that's called a min, in connection with our Gemara here, and a Jew should not have any dealings with the minin. The ein misrapin mehen afilu l'chayisho, and we cannot get cured from the minin, even for chayisho, meaning that even if all the Jew can lose is a temporary life of a few days, that's all he has to lose by going over to the min and getting cured from him, he should not get cured from the min. And as we will see, that this is an Isser de Rabbanon, and we'll soon see what the reason is. At this point in the Gemara, the Ramban explains the Gemara thought it's the same reason as an Akum. The same reason we cannot get cured from an Akum, because we're afraid that the Akum will kill the Jew, who then we're afraid that the Min will kill the Jew. So you have just told us that when it's only a question of losing Chai Shah, then we let the Goy cure the Jew, even though he probably will kill him. And here we're saying that we do not let the Min, even if all the Jew can lose is Chai Shah. And the Gemara, in fact, brings a story that brings out this psak. There's a story with Ben Dima, who is the nephew. He is the son of Rabbi Shmuel's sister, Sheikisha Nachash. A Nachash, a poisonous snake, bit him. Ubo Yaakov Ish Kvar Schanya, and Yaakov Ish Kvar Schanya that we had before on Daf Yud Zayin in this Masechta, he was a min. He came to Rapoisa, he said he would cure him. Velohinicha Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel did not let his nephew be cured. Ve'amalei, and Ben Dima said to his uncle, Rabbi Shmuel Achi, Rabbi Shmuel, my brother, Hanach Loi Ve'erpim Menu, let him go ahead and medically cure me, because the Ramban says that Ben Dima knew that without the cure from Yaakov Ishkvar Schanya, he was definitely going to die. And then Ben Dima continued and said, Va'ani Avi Mikra Menat Torah Shu Mutter. I will bring a pasuk from the Torah that this is Mutter. V'lo Hispik Ligmor Sadavar. He was not able to actualize his request that the men should cure him. Achi until he expired. He died. He died, as Rashi explains, with the word mutter. That was the last word that he uttered. Karl of Rabbi Shmuel, so his uncle Rabbi Shmuel, called on him the following, Ashrecha Ben Dima, praiseworthy are you, my nephew Ben Dima, Shegufach Tor, your body is Tohar, V'yotza Nishmascha Batara, your neshama went out with Tahara, as Rashi explains, since you use the word Mutter, which is similar to the word Tahara, that's why Rabbi Shmuel was saying that his neshama went out from his guf with the word tahara, similar to the word mutter. And what have you accomplished? You were not over on the words of your friends of the chachamim shoyu oimrim pirates getter. If somebody breaks through a fence, yishachenu nachash, a snake should bite him. So by not letting yourself be cured by the min, you were not over on this pasuk in Koheles that someone is over against a drabonim. Drabonim make a geder, a fence around the Torah. His punishment should be yishechenu nachash. But what do we see from this whole incident and from the halacha that we learned before, that ein misrapin mehen afil chayisha, even all you can lose is chayisha, you're not supposed to go to the min. And you said before, by akum, an akum doctor, that loy chashinin lechayisha, if the patient is vadi going to die without the intervention of that akum, what's the chilek between a min and an akum? The chayr, it's the same thing. The Gemara answers, no, there is a big difference. Shiny minus. The moshcha, the asilamim shech basrayu. Minus is different because if the doctor is successful, he can cause people to go after him. In other words, he can attract people to follow him. So therefore, there is a difference between minus and akum. By akum, where we're afraid of the akum killing the Jew, there if the Jew is definitely going to die without the intervention of the Akum, even though he's going to lose a few days of life, possibly, we do allow him to go to the Akum for the remote chance that the Akum will not kill him and will cure him. However, by Minus, we don't even let him do that. Because by Minus, we're afraid that if the Min will be successful in his operation, he may use that to make people become attracted to the minus, and therefore we do not allow the Jew, even in such a situation that he's definitely going to die, we don't allow him to give up his chayei shah, because we're afraid of minus. Minus is a different danger than akum. Akum is a danger of physically getting killed, and there we do allow him to get cured by the akum if he's definitely going to die, and we're not worried about chayei shah. Minus is different because of Dilma Asi Lemimshech Basrayu. So Tysus Divya Maskal Shani Mina says that the Lachar from Argamor's Mashma, that this would apply even to a mumcha. By an Akum mumcha, we said that somebody who's a specialist, somebody who has refuah as his profession, he's afraid that if he kills the Jew, it will make him have a bad reputation, so he is allowed to cure a Jew. Only a regular Akum is not allowed to cure a Jew. However, if the chashash is minus that he's going to attract the Jew away from his religion, there it would seem, says Tysus, that even a mumcha would be usur to do that. As Tysus, that on the next daf, on daf chav ches, we find that Rav Avua, in fact, was cured by a min, by Yaakov Mina, and he was a mumcha, and there it was permitted. So Tysus answers that even a min, it's only usur when he's maskir the shame of the avodas kechavim. And he says that this avodah zorah is helping you get a cure. And then that's usur, because that einich lam is usur even by a mumcha, because it will become an attraction to the avodah zorah. But if he does not mention the shame of avodah zorah, and he even though he's a min, but he is servicing this Jew as a doctor, and he doesn't mention anything about his avodah zarah, then Tysus says it would be mutter, and that's why in the case of Yaakov Minoah, he didn't mention anything about the avodah zarah, and that's why it was mutter for him to cure Rav Avua. In our Gemara, however, Tysus brings a Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says the same story as our Gemara concerning Ben Dima, but the Yerushalmi adds a few words. The Yerushalmi says, Ubo Yaakov Ishkvar Schanya Shemoi, Lerapoise B'Shem Rabboi, in the name of his Rebbe, V'lohinicha Rabbi Yishmael. So Tysus understands the words Lerapoise B'Shem Rabboi means his Rebbe in Minus, and he was mentioning the minus as part of the cure. It wasn't a scientific medical cure. It was based on the power of the avodah zarah. It's interesting to note that the Ritva fleshes out what the Tysus brings here from the Yerushalmi. He says that who was this Rebbe? Mishmoi shel Yeshu ben Pandira, which we know as Yoshka Pandra, the person whose name rhymes with the dairy food cheeses. So he had a father whose name was Pandira. So Yeshu ben Pandira, this was the Rebbe, says the Ritva, of the min in our Gemara over here, Yaakov Ishkvar Schanya. And he brings down that Rashi also writes that Yaakov, this Yaakov was mitamidoi of Yeshu Hava. Yeshu stands for Yimach Shmoi V'Zichroi. That he, this was the meanest, this is what the Yerushalmi means, L'rapoyse B'Shem Rabboi. That the Rebbe himself, that was the meanest, because this was the Avodah Zorah that they were following, Yeshu Ben Pandira. And now there's also an interesting, seems to be a machloikus here between Meiri and the Ri. The Meiri says that Einich Nami, in fact, the Avodah Zorah would accomplish nothing. It was only by a chance, a mikra, that the doctor would be successful in curing the patient, that through that he could make publicity that his Avodah Zorah was able to cure this person. And that's why the Chachamim prohibited. However, the Ri brings down that there was actually in those days, we don't have it today, but in those days, there was a power, Koiches HaTumah, from the Shadim, that Hashem gave a power to the Koiches HaTumah to make the Bechira in a person that he should choose between Hashem and other powers in the world that really worked. And he brings the story in the Gemara further in Avodah Zorah Daf Nun Hei, that there was a certain Avodah Zorah that somebody dreamed when they didn't have any rain, that if they were shecht a certain, the dream, the Avodah Zorah came to him and said, if you shecht this person for me, rain will come. And in fact, they took the person, they killed him, and immediately after a long drought, rain came. And Tysus says this is because there was, in fact, it wasn't just a mikra, but there was, in fact, power that the Shadim had. And therefore we're afraid, Taisa says, that if that name of the Avodah Zorah is used in the operation, that people will be attracted to the Avodah Zorah. And that's why the Chachamim made a geder that a Avodah Zorah should not, a min, should never be allowed to be a doctor, even if all that the patient could possibly lose is a chaye shaw. A min, the Gemara concludes, is different than an akum. And then the Gemara says further, Omar mar, lo yavarta adivri chavercha shahoyu oimrim uparitz geru yishkanu nochet. This is what Rabbi Shmuel told his nephew. Asked the Gemara, iu nami chav yitrakye. Originally, Ben Dima, the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, was bitten by a snake. So what the Gemara means to ask, the way Tosfos explains, is that it seems to be that Rabbi Shmuel was telling him, look what you avoided. You avoided being bitten by a snake. And therefore it was good that you are not getting cured, because you would have been bitten by a snake. But what kind of threat, so to speak, was that to Ben Dima, if he was able to cure himself from the first snake? So if he gets bitten again by another snake, he'll get cured again. What was Rabbi Shmuel trying to say here? So the Gemara answers, no, there's a difference between the first snake and the second snake. Chavya de Rabbanan, this is a snake of the Rabbanan, the Les Leasusa. Klal, there is absolutely no cure whatsoever. As Rashi explains, at the end of the Rashi, Divya Maschil, Chavya de Rabbanan, says Rashi, Sha'ivra al Divya Chacham Chayiv Misa. Because the second snake would have come to the person based on the Pasukim Kehelas, Poiritz Geder, Yishchenu Nachash. And on the bite of that snake, there is no cure. Or Rashi in Shabbos, Tavkuf Yud Amid Aleph says that if it wouldn't have been by a snake, it would have been through a different matter. In other words, in a different manner, he would have gotten killed Misa B'day Shemayim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tosfos here, the fourth wide line on the Yomid, says at the end of Tosfos Divrei Maskil, Chavya D'Rabbanan U'Mutav She'Yomus B'Neshichas Nachash Zeh Zakai B'Loi Pritzes Geder V'Al Yomus Chayiv B'Pritzes Geder. So what Rabbi Shmuel was saying to his nephew was, it's better that you die through the bite of the first snake, which is a natural death, rather than being over on the Divrei Chachamim and getting the min to cure you while he was mentioning the name of his Avodah Zarah. And that is something that the Rabbanan prohibited, as we'll see in tomorrow's shir, because of the Chil Hashem that could come out from such an episode. And therefore, you saved yourself from getting bitten by another snake, which would have been Misa B'day Shemayim, and you at least left the world a zakai that you weren't over al divrei chachamim. We'll see more about this entire halacha and story of Ben Dima, Be'ezras Hashem, in tomorrow's shir.